Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.thevalleychurch.ca. And now let's take you right into the sermon.
All right. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to get us to have some participation because I know we have kids here. And I know we're all big kids here. So maybe you can participate too if you're a big kid. We are going to create a story. Okay, so we're going to create a story. This is how it's going to go. We're going to get you to choose some things for our story. And I'm going to create a story myself. And then we're going to do this step two. So first is, we need to choose a person or an animal. So someone is not here, but a person or an animal. What type of person or an animal should we use? Who's got an idea? Anybody have ideas? Yeah, you got an idea, Tara?
A horse.
A horse, okay. So we got a horse. So there's a horse, okay? Then we're going to choose a place. What would be a good place for the story? Oh, Elijah?
Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, okay. So it's a horse in Bethlehem, okay. And we're going to choose an object, some sort of object that we can kind of imagine, okay, yeah?
An apple.
Well, that actually helps
apple.
Me. That's good.
An apple.
Okay. That's good. Okay, this is great. Okay, last thing is choose a scenario. So meaning like what is happening? What's the kind of general idea of what might be happening in the story? I saw Diedrich's hand first. Okay. Well, that puts a very interesting spin on what we're trying to do. Okay, so we have a horse in Bethlehem and we got Jesus' birth. And there's apples. Okay. So, this is fun. Okay, so... little did you know that on the night that Jesus' birth was happening, a horse came up in Bethlehem. This horse was chewing on an apple and marveling at what was happening when Jesus was being born. And what was the plot again? It was just, oh yeah, I did that. Okay, so that's kind of like, I told you a story, okay? This is a short story, this is kind of a truth. But you know what? Okay, there's one thing to like hear a story, but I think we should actually see a story. So I think that we should have maybe a reenactment of that. So I'm going to volunteer some people for them. So Ben and Tate, they don't know I'm doing this. Where are Ben and Tate? Tate, come on up. And where's Ben? Ben Laird? Is he here? Oh, he's in the bathroom. Oh, that's a funny thing. I didn't really tell him it was going to happen. Okay. Caleb Fruit, come on up here. Oh, look at it. I looked over at Caleb Fruit. You guys can stand in front. So
eyes.
Now, you guys. Thank you, Caleb.
Are you Jesus or are you the horse?
Okay, I'm gonna give you a couple seconds just to figure it out. You can kind of whisper each other what you want to do, and then you are gonna visibly show us the story. Okay, that's the only thing you have to do. It can be any interpretation of it. Okay, give you a sec. Can imagine how Ben would have added to this too. Convenient he went to the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we good? Okay, here we go. So now we're gonna see the story. Here we go.
Nay. Nay. This is in parentheses. Baby Jesus is in the cradle over there. I'm marveling and I don't think horses use their hooves. Wow. That's amazing. This really is God himself. This is about as far as I'm willing to.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Okay, give them a big round of applause. They were told with zero time. Thank you so much, guys. That was really good. All right. This is a fun idea. I gotta use this again. That was a really fun idea. Thank you so much for doing that for us. So we got to hear a story. We created a story. We got to hear it. We got to see it. And my analogy was that I could physically touch them. So I could put my arm on their shoulder. I'd be like, yeah, they are there. They are real. Now, this Sorry, I've just got the mental image of him eating you. Like, in my head, I'm like... Would you say that the story became pretty clear? Pretty real? Is this for real? All you Kwanos people with your... Okay, I had to put it in there. Okay, but aren't they good at kind of like, okay, you got interpretation, you can kind of figure that out. Now, in the Bible, today, I'm going to start reading the first four verses of 1 John. 1 John is written by the disciple John, and he kind of talks about some of these things that we kind of talked about today. So, in this passage, he's declaring not only did he hear Jesus, but he saw Jesus and felt Jesus, and he was with Jesus and interacted with him. So that's how real he was. So we're going to go into 1 John. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn to it, you can turn to it. If you just want to listen to me read it, that's totally cool too. But 1 John, chapter 1, so the beginning of our 1 John series, it says this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So there's our passage for today. John and the other disciples experienced Jesus. They were with him. They spent time with him. They ate with him. There's all these things that were happening. It was really, really happening in front of him. So they couldn't help but share what was going on. They wanted to tell people because they actually experienced it. It wasn't just that they could hear it or see it, but they like were with him. And it was really, really real. And it says here in the passage that this life appeared. So this Jesus, who claims to be God, was really real. He was really in front of them, and they got a chance to then now share, like what John is saying here. And John the writer says this part in verse 4. He says that he's sharing this so that he can make his joy complete by sharing this good news. This word here that John is using for the word fellowship is an ultimate joy in sharing. Kind of like, that's why there's a connection with the Father and the Son, that he has always existed together with himself for eternity with the Holy Spirit, and that there's this fellowship, this ultimate joy. And what John is saying is he wants us to also experience this joy by knowing this Jesus. And that's what fellowship is. And fellowship is specifically kind of comes out of a Christian world. And so this word fellowship, we don't necessarily use it a lot, except for Fellowship of the Ring, which often we think about when we think about the fellowship, but it kind of has some similarities. But the fellowship is specifically a Christian word and denotes, this is the definition, denotes a common participation in the grace of God, the salvation of Christ, and the indwelling of the Spirit, which is the spiritual birthright of all believers. It is our common possession of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which makes us one. So it really gives us this idea of what fellowship is and what this good news and this story does to us. It binds us together as a church. It helps us to interact with each other and have this deeper thing than just a random group of people that are getting together. So John was excited to share. He couldn't help but sharing and had confidence in who he was sharing with. He knew that if he could just say, I don't just hear, I don't just see, but I'm writing to you, I'm telling you, this is real. Because John knew that it was through this sharing that the people could experience a complete joy, which is often something that we struggle with in life. Often we have these times where I just wish that I had joy. But there actually is joy in a church. There's joy in what we experience. So here's a question for you. When was the last time you had news that you just had to share? When was that last time you just felt like, just think about that. Was it recent? Was it joyful? Was it joyful? What's the story that you wanted to share? Like when we created it, it's kind of fun to just share the story we just created in front of you. Or what John was sharing in the gospel, or in the First John. I cannot help but tell you, I experience this, I need to share. Well, this is kind of leading us into a story I want to share with you, which is a bit of an announcement. And I want to share with you our location and all of the different things that happened with this, because it's quite amazing. So some of you may know that we are connected with this day every September 30th. It's the Truth and Reconciliation Day. Last year, we were in the pouring rain. We're packing up chairs. We're cleaning up garbage. We're dancing in a circle with the First Nations people, and we were just like serving them. We just wanted to serve our community. So about 25 of us, I think, went down. It was actually really cool. It was really fun. We did the walk. We learned. We listened. It was really, really awesome. So this year, I said, okay, well, I'm going to get ahead of it. I'm just going to, just like in beginning of August, I'm going to say, hey, we're in this year. So I talked to Audrey George, and I said, Audrey, we're in this year. We're going to have hopefully 10 to 20 people, maybe more. We would like to serve you again. We just want to serve our community. And so she wrote back and she just said, this is awesome. So glad that Valley Church is willing to do this. And I know this because not a lot of churches have just volunteered with this before. We're kind of pioneering this and it's humbling. But we're like, okay, well, that's great. And she said at the end of the email, she said, if there's anything that we can do for you, let me know. I was like, oh, there is something that we need right now. And I said, I don't know if you know of anything, but we are looking for a location, and September 15th is coming very, very, very fast. And I'm a little nervous because I know God wants us to have a place. I didn't say this to her, but I just said, I know we're supposed to have a place. I know it's meant to be to have this church, but I don't know where it's supposed to be. If you know something, she didn't respond to me, but all I got was this email back from her and Cece, this girl named Kim, and said, Kim is going to be in touch with you about a location, a possible location. I'm like, okay. So 10 minutes later, Kim gives me an email separately saying, Wes, we heard about your church. We know that you've been involved with the walk. We would love you to come down to the office. And this is the Cowetson Development Corporation, the one that's doing the new high school downtown. They're building that right now. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is funny because like I put a word out to the Cowetson Tribes office, but we hadn't heard back, but things are kind of going on in the background. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So this is a different location. So I went down the location, and here I am driving up, and I'm thinking, okay, this is the conference center. Like, okay, this is really interesting. So I walk in, and I go up to Kim and her helper, Leona, and they're like, we would like to show you the room next door, the banquet hall. I'm like, okay. I thought the HVAC system was down. We asked you before and it wasn't available. Like, oh, we fixed the HVAC system. Actually, we haven't rented since 2016 when tourism was a big thing through our cultural center. But we're just about to open it up and we're actually looking for long-term renters. I was like, well, that's good because I'm not interested in short-term anymore. I'm done with short-term rentals. So as we're talking, we're looking at the place and it's like this building, the banquet hall, if you've seen it, if you just had seats in it, it probably seats 400 or 500 people. And they've got like rooms that are storage rooms. Oh my God, I can picture Valley Kids. There's like the lobby, it could be like a nursery. It's kind of closed off and stuff. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And it's like big and like, this is crazy. And then she's like, well, let me show you the next door building. And she brought me to the next door building, and there's this other building beside it, and it's, you know, it needs to be renovated. And she's like, we're about to renovate this, and this could actually be helpful for you too. And I'm like, I can see this is a Valley Kids campus. That's crazy. And I'm like, my head's spinning, and I'm like, okay, well, we'll have to think about this, but I really like this. I called in Amanda. Amanda looked at it. We're like, this is crazy. Like, this is all happening. And then at the end of it, we're like, okay, well, we'll sleep on it, and we'll get back to you next week because she's going to be away. And I said, well, hey, Audrey's been so good to us. It's so nice. Like, she's just been such a great person. And she just kind of smiled and she said, yeah, Audrey's my sister. And I was like, oh, that's how that works. I'm like, not like auntie sister, like you're kind of connected. And like, no, my blood sister. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So I was like, wow, this is crazy. So it's kind of cool. And she said this, and this was like a God thing. She's like, well, I trust my sister's first impression and view of people. And you guys seem like great character, good people. And we want to work with you. We actually want you to rent from us. I was like, how is this happening with the First Nations community asking us to rent from them? Like, how is this? This is only God doing it. It's crazy. So that's how we got it. Now, like, how we started the thing. And what happened was, this past Wednesday, I was pretty stressed out. I'll be honest with you. I was like, this is like last minute, 11th hour. God, what are you doing? And I was just like, I was just stressed out the whole day. And then all of a sudden, we get this email back. Yeah, you can meet with me tomorrow. I'm like, great. So we bought a bunch of four of us came down, and then as we're talking, they're just like, the things they're talking about is just so cool. They're like, yeah, so we really want you to rent from us. You'll have locked storage, so you can store up all your sound gear. You can have like, well, what's happening with the Quamagen building, which was next door? They're like, well, we're starting renovations in October. I'm like, this October? Like, yeah. I'm like, whoa, that's great. So October it's happening. And we're really happy. We can work with your budget, no problem. And I just heard last night that it's actually cheaper than the theater for us to meet with them. It's better, it's bigger, it's got more kids space, and it's cheaper. And I could not believe that we're getting this place. And it's downtown, which is something that we were looking for. It's a neutral space for people that aren't used to church, that they feel comfortable with coming, and also it has an opportunity, maybe, we don't assume, but maybe First Nations people would feel comfortable coming. We would love that. We would love them, because we believe we're a church for the whole Cowichan Valley. I tell you that story because I can't help but share that story. There's more stories that keep popping up to that I hope to share with you in the future, but that's the one main thing. So our new location, it's available next week. So the Kowetsun Cultural and Conference Center at 200 Cowichan Way. So that's our new home. And it's pretty permanent. They're looking for income. They want steady income. They want to know that the money's coming in. They're not looking for short-term one-off things. So this is long-term. And longer-term than even the theater was. We'll have a contract and all that is all good. Like, it's not like the theater where we didn't even have a contract and we got ousted right away. So like, this is really, really cool. It's good for us. It's good for our community. It's good for our church community. It's good for the Cowichan Valley that we're here. Already talking about like, hey, we might need volunteers. I'm like, no problem. We've got people. If you need people to clean up things or do stuff, we would love to help you and to serve our community in this way. And so you'll be hearing stuff about that in the coming weeks. But I did need to share with you because I saw Jesus at work. I tell you that so you can hear Jesus at work. But we felt Jesus at work. We walked into the building. We shook the hands of Kim, the lady that was making the deal with us to rent from them. We felt that story. And as I walked through the building, we shook her hand and we just like, is this really happening? Like, is this really for real? Is this really happening? But it is. It's really happening. And it's crazy because God is doing it. I couldn't have done it. It wasn't like I was going to set up the Truth and Reconciliation Walk just so that one day we would have a meeting place that's on reserve land. Like, there's no way I was thinking that. I just wanted to serve. And God has made this happen. He parted the seas for us, if you know that story I'm referring to. So the next question is, to make it more personal to each of us, how do you feel about Jesus? Some of you here know Jesus. And you maybe have an idea of that. And some of you here have been among us and just searching out what it might look like to follow Jesus. Because I know he's real. I've staked my whole livelihood, my whole life, is that I believe I'm called to be a pastor, specifically to Valley Church right now. And I'm excited because we're just getting going. And I know he's real. But have you heard from him? Have you seen him at work? Maybe that's the first time you've seen and heard him working, the concept of God actually doing something in this tangible, physical world we live in. Have you seen him at work and have you felt him? If you said no to any of these things, that you've never seen him or never heard him or never felt him, I hope and pray that you will be open, just one thing, open up your life to being part of this journey. This corporate thing of what God's doing with his church is one thing, but God actually wants something specific for you as well. So just be open to allowing Jesus to be real for you. Now, if you said yes to any of these things, which one is it that you say yes to? Have you seeing him and feeling him and hearing him? So have you heard something that undeniably was Jesus? Maybe there's your own story that you have, like the location story. You're just part of because you're here. Have you seen Jesus working around or in you? Just be thinking about, how have you seen him do that? Or have you been there in a moment where the body of Christ, the church, the people, not the building, the church, has been real for you? Maybe they've laid hands on you and prayed for you, hugged you, or given you a handshake. Well, for me, Jesus is real, which means Valley Church is real. That's my conclusion, at least. Valley Church is also real because it's his church. We are people that gather regularly together. We'll be at the Kowetsun Cultural and Conference Center on Sundays. but and fellowshipping like we are today, where we'll enjoy a meal together. But also, we are a visible presence of Jesus in the Cowichan Valley everywhere that we go. If it's in our workplace, if it's in our schools, if we're shopping at the store, if we are at our sports, or if we're walking in the park, wherever we go, we are the visible presence of Jesus. Everywhere. Everywhere in the valley, but everywhere that we go. And if we are representing Jesus, we make him real and known to those who don't know him. Because we are there, and we are representing him. We can be seen, we can be heard, we can be felt. There's a handshake, there's a hug, we can make a physical difference here in the Cowichan Valley. And we're doing this together. If we all commit to this, it's not just ourselves, there's a whole group of people that are actually making a difference in this Cowichan Valley. We can love and care for people just like Jesus did and does. And we can bring hope and light into a life and life into a hopeless and often lifeless world. And we see it in our streets. Sometimes we just don't know what to do, but we know that there's going to be a way that we can love people into the kingdom of Jesus so that they can experience true life like no other. That it's real. There's a real kingdom that we can be part of. So if you're one of us already, we invite you to continue being that visible presence of Jesus. And we encourage you to just keep going. Just keep doing what you're doing. I know that a lot of you are. And if you're not one of us and curious and interested in this church, or just interested in Jesus and you've never thought this through before, we invite you to journey with us. We want you to. We welcome you to. May this be a home, a safe place, a place where you can explore that. Even if you're unsure what it looks like, sometimes that's just faith, right? You just have to step out. Like, I don't know what this is going to look like, but I got to do it. And it might be just that last step. You just need to take that step and say, I'm ready. And I want to take that step. So maybe it starts with just coming on a Sunday, or maybe having a chat with somebody right after the gathering today. But if you'd like to chat with one of our pastoral staff, we would love to chat with you. There's a lot of our leadership or just people that are here. Maybe someone who brought you here that you can just kind of like, hey, like, so like, I want to know more about what Pastor Wes was talking about, that please go a little further. But we'd love to chat with you about that. I would love to chat with you. Someone here would love to chat with you. All right. So we are going to close our kind of message sermon time now, and I'm going to pray for us. I do want to thank, before I forget, I do want to thank Camp Kiwanis for hosting this. So maybe it's just like a round of applause for Camp, for Scott and Julie are here in our midst. And we do want to pray and thank Camp because they've been there every time we've needed them. That's a pretty big thing. It's not lightly. We are running a mile a minute and it's hard and we're just thankful and they are us. So often when you're close, you don't think of them as separate, but they are worthy of recognition. So I want to pray as well to thank Camp for us being here and call up the band while I pray here. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this church. Thank you for Camp Kiwanis, who has hosted us today and all the days that we've had potlucks here and gatherings. We are so thankful for them. We are so thankful that you have placed it in someone's heart to have a camp here many, many years ago, 1966, and that today we get to benefit still from this camp. And we thank you for what you're doing in and through us. It was almost exactly 2 years ago that we were right here, about to start this church, singing "The Church of Christ Is Born," and it is amazing to see who we are, who is here now, and who we are now. So we thank you and praise you, asking you to guide us in leading our lives as representatives of you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.